Hey folks, welcome to the show. Hi Sharad, how are you, man?
I'm very well, and a little bit of a divergence from our typical companies that come on our platform today is like absolutely core tech.
Yeah, this is as tech as it can be.
Yeah,
I imagine. And but yeah, before that, how was your week? Were you following the everything from the moon landing to Prague's championship final game? I know you are quite into chess, so
yeah, we'll take both the wins. Moon was obviously a win. Even chess, I think runners up is a big win. So happy to take both.
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite quite an eventful week, and it ended in a nice and quiet Friday. It's around 11 a.m. I think I'm looking forward to this chat. We have with us Mr. Sudhir Kunder from DECIX, Chief Business Officer. Sudhir, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. A very good morning to you, Nikhil, and sir.
Thanks for taking out the time. Sudhir, obviously, you come from a very rich background and experience within a variety of sectors, be it telecom, FMCG, retail, ICT. You spent almost 6 years at Bharti Airtel. I think you were also part of Tata Communications. So it's always a pleasure to, you know, chat with someone who comes with such a diverse and rich experience. Before any of these episodes, we obviously spend some time to, you know, figure out about the company and the industry. And I'll be honest, we were lost as soon as we started. When it comes to DECIX, obviously it's kind of a leading career neutral or data center neutral interconnection platform. But as soon as we started going down the rabbit hole, we saw everything from, you know, IXP, ISP, POP, content delivery networks, cloud, OTT. So I thought best way to kind of start this conversation would be to, you know, get a very bottom up view of the value chain here that we are looking at. Obviously, we are all internet users, but I think as long as the Wi-Fi is solid and sound, beyond that, one doesn't put too much of a thought on what is the base architecture that's going behind. So, would love to, you know, get a sense of what do you mean?
So, the first question was very pertinent. What do you mean by DECIX? So, it's taken me about 4 years now almost to get people to pronounce our name correctly. It is pronounced with a K, so it's DECIX. What it typically means is DE stands for Doshe, and there's a hyphen there, you see. Having said that, we've been across this industry for 26 years, as I said, and our journey has been nothing short of building a rocket ship, as I keep talking to friends like you all, where, you know, 5 years back when DECIX came into India, they had certain challenges in terms of the vast expanse of geography that we have. And against that, the way internet is consumed here, the internet service providers typically would buy full duplex bandwidth from our telco friends. And then as consumers, you and I would get it via our local cable operator or local ISP. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way the whole chain used to move. And the costs were staggering when it came to upgrading your infrastructure to be in line with consumers' expectations in terms of how you want to deliver. There was a time when I was in SIFI, when way back in 2000, when we had 32, 64 and 128 kbps. And today, as a consumer, for all you know, your household broadband guy is giving you a 100 meg fiber supply at home. So that's been the kind of shift which we've seen in this industry. Right. And the traditional infrastructure would never help you. So where do you bring the money from in an environment which is highly competitive? So that's where an interconnection platform like us comes into play. We typically bring in a host of services on the same port, if I want to say so simplistically. But to make it more simple, an internet exchange to start off with is nothing but a small setup. On A end, you have the Facebooks, Googles, Akamai's, and the likes, Netflixes of the world,
right.
The CDNs, okay. As you rightly mentioned. On the B side are the consumers,
right?
People like you and me who get served via the internet service providers. So if this platform wouldn't be there to get on a cross-connect and have a lot of advantages that I'll bring to the fore in some time. The internet service providers would typically have to fully depend on the full duplex bandwidth that they would buy from the telcos. Why we come into play, and by building a network then set up in a place like India, we've been able to help these internet service providers get 90% optimization of their services. So assume that you are paying maybe 25, 30 lakh rupees a week for the year because of Netflix. Today, you end up saving 90% of that. So 27 lakh rupees get saved day one on a single gig. But this doesn't come at a compromise at all. You get better latencies because you are available across the net.
Sorry to just cut you in between. Like before we kind of go into that, like say DECX is not in the equation. Let's assume. What would be the classic way in which the services would reach me?
That's what I was mentioning. Yeah. So if DECX or any other interconnection platform is not there in the equation which I was mentioning, you would have to, if I have to give you an example, you want to look up Nikhil Arora.
Yeah.
So when Sudhir types Nikhil Arora, if there is no DECX, it will consume the raw bandwidth. Mm-hmm. It will go right up to California out of Google servers and bring the data out.
Okay.
So latencies are going to be high. The consumption of internet bandwidth, as it is called in the industry, goes up. Mm-hmm. And the cost obviously is there. So today, at the blink of an eye, into 140 times faster is how the data comes into your laptop or handled, because everything is available at the nearest node. Right. And that is what an internet exchange does for you.
Right.
Gives you full control on traffic, makes it more secure because there is no open internet, and gives you resiliency and security.
Is it acting like some sort of a marketplace framework where effectively access is being, I would say prioritized, for the lack of a better word, for specific CDNs?
The idea of a CDN is they get access to multiple eyeballs and multiple service providers across a single port via us.
Right.
And the consumers get, like in Bombay, 61 CDNs is available across a single access port and the multiple routes. So maybe 20,000 plus routes are available when they connect up with me.
Okay.
Or any other exchange, the numbers might be lesser. So that's the basic ground rule on which an internet exchange works, irrespective of DECX. And the differentiator will come in sometime.
And so just to sort of understand more and follow up, right? Like back, we're going 10, 15 years back. The telco guys who were sort of running the CDNs, like it was sort of Limelight and Akamai and all these guys were still big operators. But then we saw like Netflix and Facebooks of the world build their own internal CDNs, right? To sort of, and then got into partnership with, Comcast and whatnot in the West. How does this arrangement work with typical transit providers on the internet ecosystem? And how does, try to understand it, right? There's a transit provider, there's a CDN network, and there's your company. How does they interact? And are the relationships going to be bilateral in nature,
yes,
typically?
The whole ecosystem thrives on, if I have to say, bilateral or trilateral relationships, where one, you have the data centers, which is the heart of the digital ecosystem today. So that is where the CDNs that I mentioned will have their infrastructure hosted. We only operate out of data centers, and that's where the handshake happens. So in the traditional environment, as you rightly said, although they had their networks built, it was not built in a manner in which it can be consumed in a faster, more cost-efficient manner. And when you say you're consuming through a telco, there's obviously going to be a higher cost to the whole deal, right? Here, since you are across a local peering, and these names that you took are already our customers.
Okay.
So that does not mean that they do not have an infra minus of the internet exchange, but an internet exchange plays a very, very pivotal role in their expansion plans and in their growth plans when it comes to serving their customers.
Mm-hmm. And just to get an example, right, from an Indian perspective, I think I read somewhere also, I think on your website, and sort of talking about electric vehicles and how that's going to be a key source of data, which needs to be sort of addressed. So just for a hypothetical scenario, right, how does, let's say, an electric vehicle company which is scaling up, how does that relationship work with DCIX,
So if not too much of electric vehicle, say, so whether it is autonomous vehicle, sure, whether it is the M&D as a segment, there is a lot of data that gets consumed. There is a lot of infrastructure that is going to be prevalent in the factories today, you know. So if you are going to be deploying a certain technology, so let's say, for example, AI, IoT, and 5G, all these in isolation might not be a great story for any organization to monetize the investments that they make. But when they have an interconnection platform, which helps you make a digital triangle out of it, that is where the, as we call it, the hand, the brain, and the heart of the whole setup. That's when you are able to put the use cases into actual consumable thing. So if I say internet inside a car, not wanting to name a company, that sounds very nice. But does that really work in real-time situations? No, because if you are in Kolhapur, your data is going to come right up to Mumbai. There is a data exchange that is going to happen and it travels. So when you have an edge pop available right in that city, that's when the actual piece starts working. Similarly, the factory environment. It's a longish thing, but I'm trying to encapsulate in the best possible manner.
Yeah, no, it's a fairly complex subject as well, right? So trying to understand that. And how does the regulatory environment fit into this? And when I say regulatory, two big pieces, right? One is sort of data localization angle. And the second is, I don't know what the conversation about it is in India, but there's a whole net neutrality argument that people make when you get into bilateral partnerships, right? Is that, how does that sit in when we talk about setting up internet exchange?
Both are very relevant in the Indian context today. Twofold answer to this. The first one is, if you see the way Nikhil spoke about us, the first thing that he said is, it is a data center network neutral organization. So organizations like us are supposed to be somebody who can be trusted, somebody who has a lineage of keeping an infrastructure ready and being able to serve it. While there is a lot of data privacy now coming in, what this will mean is today the data that a lot of Indian SME, SMB enterprises have out of India will start moving back. There will be reverse repatriation in a very short time. And if you do a lookup, you will realize that there was a big card company which had to stop doing business for some time because their data was in Singapore and for whatever reasons, they were not able to bring it up. And then colossal amount of money got spent. So there is already a precedence that is set. Now that there is a regulation coming, third most important is that is where you see the proliferation of data centers. While people believe that there is a couple of trillion dollars of money that will eventually flow into India last 2 years plus next 3 years put together, where is the consumption going to happen? The consumption is definitely going to happen in both these phases where people are moving away from on-prem to the DC environment, and there is a lot of data that is residing outside of our country which will start coming in. And with the Singapore moratorium in place and the release of the moratorium. So I had an interview with Indian Express Chennai 2 years back, and that's what I said, that Chennai will see a boom that has not been even thought about because of the fact that there is one, a reason that they have put a moratorium there, and the accessibility via the subsea cables. And after that, there have been another two subsea cables that have landed in Chennai. So I think the environment is very ripe for this, as I call it, that this is India's decade. You know, this decade is only about technology and a lot of other stuff for sure.
So, it's interesting you mentioned Chennai. In terms of your, I would say, capital expenditure or hard infrastructure, geography plays a role. Effectively,
yes.
I mean, that's a factor, right? I mean, because as you mentioned that there are subsea cables, and so they obviously port cities are probably better well positioned, et cetera, right? But like in terms of actual customer experience, how does that kind of crystallize?
Today, I can break this up into two parts. One, as you rightly said, geography. So we are available across the four metros, which is traditionally Mumbai, Mumbai, Delhi, Kolkata, and Chennai. I recently opened up my POP in, which is point of presence and an exchange, in Hyderabad yesterday. And being near to the data consumption location is where the whole story is going to be lying. So while we only talk about India connectivity, nobody talks about the Bharat connectivity. So there is so much of headroom today. When I mean that is we have 6 lakh odd villages, and we've been able to connect only 2,60,000 odd villages today. So the headroom that is there will only start getting served when you have a better fiber infrastructure coming to the closest point of presence that organizations like us build in the true sense of an internet exchange,
right?
Not create the, you know, point to point and then calling it an exchange. So one, of course, is that part. Consumer experience, if I give you certain examples on my cloud exchange, for example, there is a ophthalmic company out of Bangalore, which used to access AWS instances in Singapore,
right,
2 years back via one of the telcos open internet. Mm-hmm. 330 milliseconds was the latency that they used to encounter. Mm-hmm. Come to DigiX with a problem statement. We do a solutioning call. And in the next 48 hours, they make a decision to take a AWS Direct Connect port from us.
Got it.
Last 2 years, their latencies are at 40 milliseconds. From 330 to 40.
Right.
And I hear now that because of the NNI improvement between us and the AWS box, it's come down to 10.
Can you explain what you mean by direct with AWS?
Yeah. So, like I said, we are an interconnection platform.
Right.
So, one service we explained some time back was the internet exchange. Second is the cloud exchange.
Right.
Cloud exchange typically means that all these large cloud service providers currently in India, for example, AWS, Microsoft Azure, Google, and Oracle. These 4 cloud service providers are on our platform, as a result of which any customer who wants to have a... Yeah. So the cloud exchange, typically I was explaining, is 4 cloud service providers, which contribute to 90% of the Indian GSP.
Right.
There's an easy mechanism to reach out to them via us as compared to open internet.
Right.
When they come via DigiX Direct Connect, they have the ability to take care of 90%. It gives you better security because there is no open internet,
right,
scalability, and there is no fixed amount of contract. So if there is a workload that comes to you and you say that tomorrow you need a 5 gigs of connectivity to Oracle, as their product is called as Oracle Fast Connect,
right,
can do that for whatever number of days you want, and then, you know, terminate, as against the earlier thing where it's a little bit of a contractual obligation, early termination charges and stuff like that. So that's the ease of doing business that we bring to the fore. While we have 4 CSPs here, in Frankfurt, we have 54 cloud service providers sitting out of the cloud.
So it's like, for example, say I have a business and I obviously need some bandwidth, be it in terms of, you know, instances at a... from a cloud service provider. And now one approach for me is to kind of go through the generally available network. And the other is, if I go through you, I get pretty much like a bilateral line with the local domestically placed server of Amazon or of Azure or whatever, right?
Correct. So what
which
you
is
get
peering? Which is the peering, right?
No. Peering was something different, as I said. This is I create a super highway for you.
Right.
Okay.
For you to be able to access your cloud service provider in whichever shape and form that you. For example, if you are a testing and development organization, on the same time, you might require AWS and Azure in different quantities.
Right.
And at that point of time, a cloud exchange like us makes great sense because as an IT guy, it makes your life very easy. Mm. Just do a plug and play rather than, you know, multiple contracts, multiple discussions.
Mm.
So that's the cloud exchange part of it. So consumer experience increases greatly. This is from the business side.
Right.
From B2C consumer, the gaming that you do or the seamless Netflixes that you watch at home, typically it is because of unsung heroes like internet exchanges who make it possible for your local internet service provider to give you a service that is far more faster, better, and with greater access in terms of your watching abilities, or whether you are doing it on your Wi-Fi, because ultimately that's how you connect your hand at most of the times anywhere across India, irrespective of the mobile operator that you use.
So, because like in terms of your, you have 3 offerings, right? Core one is peering service, then Direct Cloud and Maps. So I guess Direct Cloud and Maps is the same, but Maps is specifically with Microsoft Azure. Is that a right way to think about it?
Absolutely. Bang on.
Right. And What's the role of the, I mean, this is the more and more one, you know, kind of thinks about it. It sounds like a deep infrastructure play, right? And so does the government have a role to play here? Because I was also reading somewhere that the government also has their own set of internet exchange providers, right? NIX or something. I don't recall whether it's like for like for DKX.
I understand where you're coming.
Yeah.
I got the question.
Because I feel that the reason why I'm asking, just to finish the chain of thought, is, for example, like if you look at a different paradigm, like say, you know, power contracts, right? So obviously there was a couple of exchanges which kind of emerged, you know, guys like IEX, etc. And there was like a monopoly or a duopoly kind of a framework. And now we are, you know, hearing noises around like market coupling, where the government is kind of basically going to figure out price discovery through their own centralized platform. And then the exchanges pretty much become more of an execution platform. So do you see directionally something like that also happening within your domain, or this is more decentralized and private?
No, this is more decentralized, and it's got both the place. The government has already been there in terms of National Internet Exchange, which I think is about 19, 20 years old now.
Right.
So they've been here for a very, very long time. And we are just the new kid on the block, if you want to call it so, with 5 years. But by virtue of the ability to run, scale, and operate this business in a different manner, we've been able to make a deep impact into India and SAARC countries when the service is concerned. So far as the regulatory question that you had asked and I missed to answer you, is that the fact that there was a gray area, and while there is a internal discussion within the government and ministries going on, we at that point of time chose the white and not the black of the gray. We went ahead and subscribed for a license, and we are the only, for a very long time, we are the only legally compliant interconnection platform in India. Because for me, it is essential to give you the confidence as a SME, SMB, enterprise, or ISP, that tomorrow suddenly there is a change in the government viewing glass. I should not come into a situation where my services get hampered for whatever reason. So that ease of doing business and peace of mind works fabulously well with my customers when they know that there are no ifs and buts when they do business. So that is a legally compliant concept for you. So far as the government part is concerned, we see government being able to appreciate the fact that the way digitalization is happening, their endeavors to bring down the license fees, get the barriers down, have forums available for internet service providers of India, talk to the folks from DOT, DRAI, have consultation papers going on. So there is active engagement within the industry as well to ensure the superhighway that is being built by all of us one day comes into one particular single path, and then that serves the nation well.
How does the typical if you go through a hypothetical P&L or the revenue model, how does the sort of the revenue and the cost, what is the model around it? From a revenue standpoint, I guess like it's sort of based off transaction or number of megabytes of data actually that goes through the platform. How does that sort of flow over, and who are your sort of vendors in terms of, is it CDN network, is it transit provider, is it like, how does that sort of flow typically?
Yeah, so from a stakeholder point of view, while I might not delve deep into the overall P&L standpoint from an organizational perspective.
Sure, yeah, stakeholder standpoint.
But from a stakeholder perspective, this is a business that, a catalyst like us is a very small part of the whole ecosystem, but we become one of the most integral parts of the revenue earning capabilities of people who align their business with our business interest. So if I have to give you an example, for lack of any other example, a 1 gig port for me would cost 15,000 rupees. Mm-hmm. And if I have to serve my customer in Pune, so Bombay, Pune, any telco would make 7 lakh rupees transferring that 1 gig from Mumbai to Pune. But for DECIX, it is only a 1,80,000 rupees annual recurring charge.
Right.
That's the scale. Any data center that wants to be in the play today needs to have somebody like us. It has become like one of the top 3 KPIs when it comes to Indian and international organizations. When they come and ask us that we don't see your name with that data center, are you in discussion with them? Because we are the ones who bring network density to play. We are the ones who bring in the ability to give multiple services across B2B, B2C from where the customers come in, mm-hmm. across verticals. Most important is, as I said, the fiber play.
Yeah.
All these data centers need to be connected across fiber, and there is no capacity that you can work upon. So organizations who have redundant fiber available between data centers also end up taking a lot of good money from us and from our data center partners when they want to connect up with these data centers to build the redundant net.
So, effectively, you don't
fund the capex, I guess, right? I mean, for them, they are probably the most capital-intensive operator in the entire value chain.
More often than not, this is a good opportunity for them to monetize the investments that they've already made.
Correct. Yes.
The capex is already sunk in, and this is one more additional revenue earning opportunity for them. Also, the ISPs have a fabulous, a way of making money today, because if you are a SMB organization which typically has a last mile through your local cable operator or ISP, his last mile is there, which is B-end. A-end is connected with us.
Right.
So if he's able to KYC in the real term, know his customer, and he knows that Nikhil Arora is going to be on ramp with Google Cloud for 1 gig, his investment is zero. But his ability to make money is twofold. One, since he can white label my offering, mm-hmm. make more money there, and to charge you for the point-to-point cost that he's going to serve you. So these are the ways in which all our service partners have a great offering that they can bring to the table. One small example, I don't want to name them, but there is a telco today which has been selling our direct cloud mm-hmm. under their brand name. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing fabulous business, and it's been a exhilarating journey for both of us today.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you mentioned that, when it comes to the end user, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, effectively, ISP has visibility on the end user, right? I mean, yeah. They kind of get a sense.
He doesn't, and that's where we educate him.
Huh?
More often than not,
right.
By the nature of the business today,
right.
Since it's a huge volume business,
right.
Having the right kind of info on your digital landscape is not there in place today.
Right.
And that is what we do in the small seminars that we do with our customers, saying that forget about competing amongst each other. Look at yourself inwardly and see what you can do with the customers where you are the secondary or the tertiary broadband or internet lease line provider. You know, that's where the actual money is sitting.
But I mean, to be fair, I mean, irrespective of the amount of insight that they might have on day one, ISP is the one which is interfacing, maybe,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, on one end, the ISP gets a sense of what might be the potential demand or the, bandwidth or capacity that they need to keep, right? And on the other end of the side, the counterparty is you, correct?
Yeah. We are the guys who serve them with that.
Correct.
And there is a consumer on the other side. This guy is the medium where more often than not, the invested capital is already there.
Right. So, effectively, when it comes to... they are pretty much like purchasing bandwidth from the exchange, correct? Is that a way to think?
They are purchasing a port capacity,
right.
Which is at a fraction of a cost that would be paid to the telcos today. As I gave you an example of 30 lakh versus 1.8 lakh rupees.
See? Correct. And for you on the other end is, on one end is the ISP. Who's the counterparty on the other end?
On the other end, it is the CDNs, the correct. Data centers, and those guys from where we sit.
And you make a margin on that, right? Is that a way?
That's why you see we are a very thin margin organization.
Yes.
Because ultimately, while I help build the digital infrastructure for you, I help you in your digital transformation endeavors, the rupee value that I put on the table for myself is pretty low as compared to what other stakeholders make in this. But that's okay. That's the way the business is supposed to be constructed. Yeah. And that's why I said, while we are not an NGO, we want to make price as the last governing factor while it comes to service offerings.
From a consumer standpoint, right, when they sort of engage with you, how easy is it or how difficult is it from them to switch their internet exchange providers? Is that is there an infrastructural element to it as well, or do you see that as a business moat, or how do you sort of see it?
Well, I'll try to sound humble here, but now over the last 3.5-4 years, it's more often than not that people have heard about you, known about you. And it is your ability to be able to engage with them in the right perspective,
yeah,
and help them make the shift and understand what, you know, extra that we do for them. So typically when I started off my journey, I didn't want to look at it like a fill it, shut it, forget it punchline that somebody used, you know. For me, it was always a life cycle. I would help you in your pre-sales times when you're talking to me, during the sales cycle, after the sales cycle as well. Mm-hmm. So that has been able to give us a lot of magnetism, traction in the market. And we've created a decent amount of pull today.
Yeah.
And like if I have launched myself in Hyderabad yesterday, already I am sitting on some phenomenal numbers of ISPs and a couple of enterprises who are willing to do further discussions towards closure in terms of business.
Yeah.
So it's all about knowledge dissemination and the fact that how are you able to make their lives more easy in terms of their solutions that they want.
And are they sort of, when they sort of, want to see if they're, if they want to rank the performance, I mean, not about like the typical customer service and pricing is obviously generic, but what are they looking at? Like latency, you said, is it page loading factor across devices and across, what are those technical parameters on which they're sort of judging you?
Top three KPIs, if you see,
yeah,
what typically serve during the COVID days. And in my interactions with the both enterprises and ISPs, I would tell them that they as ISPs and we as the behind the curtain organizations were the unsung heroes during those days when you would put in 16 hours of work,
yeah,
but to have uninterrupted internet at your home for doing that work was equally important. And then to have your mental peace while you unwind and watch your favorite Netflixes and binge on it or whatever.
Yeah.
It was these guys, because when this happened, we saw the telcos being shocked a little bit because the entire backhaul was built towards the enterprise hubs.
Yeah.
And then workloads typically shifted towards the residential or the Soho hub. What was that people looked forward to us when we started giving them, deliveries in 3 days and 4 days, while their colleagues in telcos would tell them anywhere between 8 to 16 weeks for upgrade and delivery.
Yeah.
Is the one is the scalability, two is the robustness, three is our ability to go above and beyond our mandate, if I say, to negotiate on their behalf with the transport layer providers to bring down prices, which makes this a positive business case for the ISPs.
Right.
So all the typical 3-4 KPIs from their end was there. They are by now aware that once they come on an exchange like us, there is significant amount of latency improvement that they will see. I'm not wanting to name an organization. You have an organization in Mumbai today who operates only for gamers kind of a network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of three hubs in South Mumbai, Powai and Sathane, for example, where the workloads are typically, or the activity typically would start at 6:30 in the evening and go way beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making a fantastic revenue model out of it, where as a normal consumer, you would pay ₹1, and here you're paying ₹3 for it. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's the kind of models that organizations have been able to build across their existing infrastructure because of the latency-sensitive business cases that are today available at their disposal, or the fintech model that some people build, calling it a low latency delivery model.
And as sort of your business, and this is just shooting in the dark here, is there an advisory element to the business for SMEs or sort of companies which are sort of growing at a fast pace or becoming big? Is there an advisory element on how they should design their infrastructure or which transportation, transport layer, or is there an advisory element to that? Or is it sort of a bundled proposition? You know what? You sort of sign up with us and we take care of getting your speed up there.
We do that on not on a professional basis, if you want to call it so.
Yeah.
When a customer comes to us, and that's why I tell a lot of folks, because we are the intermediary, hardly do we see a direct interaction happen. So Amity University will come directly to me, Udaan might come directly to me, but majority of the customers are owned, if I have to say so, from a last mile perspective, by either an ISP or a telco.
Correct.
And that's where the consulting starts, when the telco guy or the ISP brings the customer who has the possibility of on-ramping with one of these services. And then we do the entire 9 yards.
Interesting. Fascinating.
Suri, I'd just like to spend like maybe a minute or two on issues like data privacy, right? And what we see often is, especially within the realm of social media, within the realm of instant messaging, and you know, coupled with things like generative AI, there is a natural incentive now for a lot of consumers to reduce their digital footprint, because there are too many tools which are available out there for nefarious elements to play a card or two. Do exchanges have any role to play in, providing checks or balances? Or is this completely the onus of a CDN? Because effectively, you are data neutral, you are career neutral, so you don't have visibility on what's going in or what's going out, right? But what
it's
is your...
Part,
right.
I can only give you best-in-class infrastructure for your digital transformation or your current digital endeavors and ensure that. And that's my part of the play. When somebody comes and tells me that, would you be able to figure out what that guy is doing? I wouldn't.
Right.
Because my job is to give you that, and that's where it is.
Right. No, understood. And also, this was extremely insightful. I'm sure this podcast will be followed up by a bilateral chat between me and Sharad to figure out the granularity is here. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope you had some fun as well, and wish you a pleasant Friday and a restful weekend. Thank you so much for your time. This is Nikhil Arora. With me, there's Sharad Tupran, signing off.